and welcome to episode 164 of the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm back with Michael Alvaro to chat all things Pathway football. Michael, how are things this week?
Things are good. It's good to be back with you again, and a little bit to talk about and maybe a bit of fun as well in this week's episode.
Absolutely. We've got quite a bit to get through. We're going to have a bit of a discussion on the under-17 futures games, of course, that happened on the weekend, the doubleheader there down at Werribee. And then we're going to have a return of the mini-draft, a bit of a fun series. Of course, Michael got underway with Liam when he was taking over my chair. We're going to have another one of them. We'll explain at the end of the futures. But we're going to start with that first and kick off with the opening game of that doubleheader. Vic Metro defeated New South Wales ACT 17-15-117 to 15-7-97. Michael, how'd you find the game?
Yeah, some may have tuned out early for this game, but it was pretty entertaining throughout. A bit of a shootout, of course. New South Wales almost got to 100 points as well in defeat, but a lot of goals and some good end-to-end action. There's obviously in these annual futures games, not all of the available selection of Victorian players in particular, so a few stars out at the top end, but still plenty of quality out there and some under-18 representatives, guys like Tom Gross was out there, Taj Hodden, list goes on. So entertaining game. Yeah, I think the quality was still there despite a few names being out. And New South Wales ACT really brought it to a pretty handy Metro side.
Yeah, of course, some of those names are starting Levi Ashcroft, Jagger Smith, Josh Smilly. So there's quite a few that are missing that have had under-18s representative duty as well. So we know that Vic Metro generally, you would expect a Division 1 side, if you like, or the Pool A side, would beat a Pool B side, and they did that. But there was plenty of like about New South Wales ACT, particularly a Bendigo Pioneers-linked player.
Oh, absolutely. Job Shanahan, what a player. Put on a bit of a marking clinic and kicked three goals. He's exciting because he's 192 centimetres. Obviously, his aerial game's fantastic, but he's been able to play across every third of the ground this year. I think, one of his most natural positions really is as a tall defender. He's played on someone like Nate Caddy in the Talent League and did pretty well there, but obviously up forward this week, he can even have stints in midfield. He was fantastic. And for me, the standout player, at least for the Rams, even a guy like Joe Harrison, Swans Academy member, he was quite good in midfield. And Tom Gross, for me, on the Metro side of things, was the standout there. Hit the scoreboard, lots of energy through the middle. And Metro's midfield, it's going to bat so, so deep next year. Damon Hollow was in there, Nash King. So they've definitely got some really good types. And I should mention as well, Mitch Woods for New South Wales, a bit of a gun. I think a bit of a rugby convert, just the way he moves. He's got a bit of an awkward kick, but certainly some really good agility and good potential.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Vic Metro getting the job done there. We'll move on to the second game between Vic Country and Queensland, where it was a thriller right to the very end. Vic Country led throughout. Queensland just kept coming right until the end. They hit the front with a couple of minutes left, and it looked like it was going to be game over, really, and going the way of the visitors in a bit of an upset. And then it went forward. They missed a chance. And then, of course, Vic Country just found a way, really. Michael, talk us through that last play that was pretty memorable and across all socials.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's seen it, as you allude to, but Queensland had the kick in, and it went long. It went out on the full, so just outside of the 50, Vic Country pumped it in as soon as they could. The re-entry was marked by Jack Whitlock, a key forward, and again, a bit like Shanahan, put on a really good marking display on the day, and he took another right at the ideal time and went back after the siren to slot the goal. So ice in his veins, fantastic performance and a good way to finish what was another entertaining game. A little lower scoring, 70-66, but I think really the difference in the end was Vic Country's head start. They kicked three goals to nothing in the first term, the first four of the game, and Queensland just couldn't bridge it back from there despite, as you say, Pete, getting back in front. So unlucky for the Maroons, but a good fight for sure.
Absolutely. And who were some of the better players in that match?
Oh, I mean, Jonty Faure was fantastic for Vic Country. He's a bit of an awkward and fluky kind of player, but, you know, on this day he was largely effective as a key forward. Again, another good marking target. Yeah, kicked those four goals along with Whitlock. Whitlock's twin brother, Matt. That's Jack up forward, Matt down back. Both of them really mobile talls who are going to be ones to watch. Xavier Iversich, I thought, was good in midfield with someone like Ollie Warburton. Noel Meraz is one to watch for sure as well, another tall in the Vic Country lot. For Queensland, Leo Lombard was the standout. And it's kind of weird that he only played one championships game in the under-18s for the Allies. Obviously, quite a stacked team, but his quality was on show in this game. He's got a good inside-outside balance. Of course, another out of the Suns Academy. I really like Sam Marshall as well through that midfield, and Tom Gillette, the big ruck slash key defender. I mean, you can even go forward, really. So he's a handy player. So good quality throughout the two games, and it probably isn't always that way. There might be one or two standouts throughout either game, but there were definitely a good spread of performance.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on from, I guess, the 17 futures talk and discuss what's happening this weekend and beyond. What are the sort of, I guess, going on around the leagues?
Yeah, so we've got the Talent League coming back with two doubleheaders, one on Saturday at Trevor Barker Beach Oval in Sandringham and then in Bendigo at Queen Elizabeth Oval on Sunday. So a couple of main events there. Should be good to get out to those games and for a point of difference having them all in one place, which is good for us. Probably saves the mileage and whatnot. So that's back. Obviously, only a couple rounds left before wildcard round and finals. The same goes for the Sample and Waffle across all the grades. Their seasons are drawing to a pretty quick conclusion. So it'd be good to see what some of the kids can do out there. And of course, as we referred to last week, we've got all the national and state combines, which have been announced in terms of the dates and venues. Even the draft night has been announced. So plenty to look forward to in the coming weeks.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Well, enough of the serious stuff for now. We're going to get stuck into a mini draft. Now, I know we were originally going to do a different topic, if you like, but then I came up with a better one, which is basically looking at this year's draft, picking a player for, I guess, a variety of positions, a key defender, small defender, key forward, small forward, a ruck, a mid, and a utility. And generally, we'll take turns. We're going to do the Serpentine draft this time because obviously whoever gets to go first has a bit of an advantage if you take one at a turn. So, we're just going to basically do that. So, it's up to you.
We'll do a paper, scissors, rock. 1, 2, 3, shoot. Mm-hmm. And then, we'll decide. So, I'll go paper, scissors, rock. Oh, let's just restart that one. Paper, scissors, rock. All right. So I've won, and I'm going to decide to pick second. So I'll have picks 2 and 3. So you're on the board, Pete.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to do that because I would also have done that. So what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to go with Jed Walter for my first pick.
Okay, good choice.
As a key forward, yeah.
Yep. All right, so you've got Jed Walter, and I'm going to try. It's hard because so we're picking one player for each position, of course, and you want to look at the depth in each position, and Jed Walter as that key forward perhaps takes out a bit of that. So,
Liam's not in the draft anymore, Michael.
Yeah, we've got a cunning sort of cat here across the table from me. But I did come in with a plan. I'm going to go with Harley Reid in my utility spot. So I do have now the best player in the draft. And with my next pick, I will take Dan Curtin as a key defender. And this is more so to mess with Pete because he could also be classed as a utility. And there is good key position or key defensive depth in this draft, so that probably won't be a worry. But, yeah, I've got those two off the board and am very happy. So you're next now.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I'll probably go with Colby McKercher for a mid. I know there's a bit of mid depth there, although not as much in this year's. So I think he's probably a good option there. And I'll also go with Zane Dersma as the utility.
Yeah, right, cool. Good one. All right. This is working out absolutely perfectly for me. I'm so glad you haven't picked Nick Watson.
That's all right.
That's my small forward, small or medium forward, of course. I think there's less depth in that particular position, so I'm very happy to pick him up. He's number four in my power rankings, and that means that the top six players are all gone with the top six picks. So, at least according to my rankings. So happy with that. I get one more pick by the looks.
Yeah, no, that's correct.
Beautiful. And that means I'm going to take Riley Sanders as the mid. I think there is a relative dearth of midfielders. So I'm pretty happy to get Riley on the board. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You're up.
All right, I am up. And the whole reason I didn't pick, once Curtin was off the board, I wasn't going to bother because you're not going to fill a key position spot there. So as of next, I will probably go, I would imagine, with Ethan Reed.
Yep.
Slot him into the ruck spot. Thank you.
Yep, that's a good one.
And then this is where it gets a little tricky.
Don't think too hard about it.
Yeah, no.
You're looking stressed.
I actually, I don't know if this counts, but I might just go with the Darcy Wilson as the forward.
Yeah, that, I will pay that.
Yeah, you'll pay that.
Yep. Of course, Darcy, probably classed as the best outside midfielder in the crop, and has been playing on the inside for Murray, but certainly can play forward, has hit the scoreboard pretty regularly, and he's quite natural there. So very happy to pay that. You are absolutely fine. Do you have another pick, or is it me again?
No, it's you again.
Me again. So I have the small defender, ruck, and key forward left. I'll go with key forward, and I'm not classing Nate Caddy as a key forward. Otherwise, I would have chosen him. So I will instead go with Jordan Croft. He was the highest one on my list. And of course, with Jed Walter, go and pick one to Pete. Obviously, he's unavailable to me. So you're up again, or is it me? I've lost count.
How many do you have left?
I've got two left.
Yeah, so you got one more.
All right. So I've still got the ruck and small defender to fill out. I may as well go with the ruck and just snap up Mitch Edwards. Of course, I mean, just because he's the highest ranked prospect I've got left in an available spot. So Mitch Edwards is my ruckman. I've only got the small defender left to fill. What do you have left, Pete?
So I've got the two defenders. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Connor O'Sullivan will be the key defender. I think that's fairly straightforward. Once you took Curtin, it was always going to be him in that slot. And then it's just a case of the smaller defender. I mean, there aren't really what you deem as small defenders too much in this draft. I mean, if we're counting them, I guess Riley Hardiman will be the way to go in that, just at 188 centimetres, but there aren't too many what I would call smalls.
Yeah,
anyway.
Small or medium, I mean, it doesn't matter. All right, so your team?
So my team, you might as well pick your last
player. I'll pick my last one, then we'll recap. All right, easy. So I'm going with my defender as well. It's funny that we've both finished off on that particular position. There are a few, to be honest. I'm going to go, we do have our rolling rankings, and James Leake has just jumped above Archie Roberts, so I'm going to pick him. Of course, 188 centimetres as well, so not particularly small, and he's a good marker of the ball, but he is my defender. So we're all done. Give me what you got.
Yeah, so from defence, in defence I got Connor O'Sullivan, Riley Hardiman, as I just picked then. Up forward, Jed Walter, Darcy Wilson. In the ruck, Ethan Reed. Midfielder, Colby McKercher, and utility, Zane Dersma.
All right, and I have from the back Dan Curtin in the key position spot. James Leake, who I picked last. Last in the draft isn't a bad thing in this edition. In the ruck, I've got Mitch Edwards. Key position forward is Jordan Croft. My small forward is Nick Watson. Midfielder, Riley Sanders, and utility, the best of the lot, Harley Reid. So I think I've comfortably taken that one out. Pete will have his own opinion, but definitely let us know what you guys think, because this is a pretty interesting way to do it. And I think, there'll be a few different sort of, combinations for different people.
Yeah, no, I think it just comes down to your preference, obviously. And I mean, if you've got three of the top five players in your team, it's probably a good sign. So, you know, it's always hard because there's heaps of players outside that group that, like, for example, Jake Rogers didn't get picked just because purely we weren't picking enough players and in that spot. So if we were picking a full team, obviously those kind of players and Nate Caddy and whatnot would get picked up. Even like Ollie Murphy, again, third best kind of key defender, just gets left out there just purely because of that. But there's, generally maybe towards the end of the year we can do a sort of full team or close to it. So would be interesting.
Would be pretty cool. But, cool. I'll smash you in that one. So beautiful. Move on.
Yeah. Doubt that. But anyway, we're moving on from that, of course. And that's pretty much all we have time for today on the latest edition of Final Siren. Hope you enjoyed that. I've been your host, Peter Williams. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Good fun as well on today's episode and some good football ahead.
Absolutely. Be sure to stay tuned to Rookie Me Central for all the latest news and analysis. And follow us at Rookie Me Central on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Threads. You can subscribe to us on all your favourite streaming services to never miss an episode. That's all for now. We hope you tune in next week.